The Sanctuary, a community of Jesus people promoting the glory of God in all things to all nations through gospel-centered missional living. Whether it be working with groups in Africa to build orphanages and help rid the continent of AIDS, or feeding the hungry, giving to the oppressed, and helping the hurting who live in our own community, The Sanctuary invites you to be part of a culture of passionate service. You can change your world. Be inspired. Join the movement.
We're going to be in Psalm 150 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can just take it and let it fall open to the middle, and you're going to be probably somewhere in Psalms. And it's the very last Psalm. So Psalm 150. If you don't have a Bible, there's blue ones everywhere. We're going to have this up on the screen so you can follow along with us. If you don't own a Bible, please take one of those blue ones. Make it yours. So we'll have it up on the screen for you. We've been talking about wisdom in the summertime since we got here into June. And we'll continue that discussion today. We reviewed very small sections out of 150 Psalms over the last four Sundays. So we certainly didn't do it all justice. We're going to wrap up our time in Psalms today and go into Proverbs as we get into July. So just to recap, because I know it's summertime and people have sort of been in and out. The first week that we got together, we talked about happiness and that there's a happiness that God wants for us. There's a joy in this life that God wants from us. And wisdom shows us the way toward that happiness. Wisdom shows us the way in God to that happiness that He wants for us and that He has for us. The next week, Pastor Matt talked and he talked about suffering. And he talked about there's a wise way through suffering, that wisdom has a path through suffering that gives meaning to suffering context to suffering, I guess, for many of us. So wisdom and suffering. Last week, Brother Joe Parle spoke, and he talked about wisdom in families or wisdom in fathers, that there's a wisdom for us as maybe as dads, but in families in particular, that leads us to the kind of families that God wants for us. And today, we're going to talk about wisdom and praise, or wisdom and thankfulness may take on some of what we're going to discuss today. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Psalm 104:24 says, O Lord, many are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Daniel 2:20 says, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. So praise, when we praise God, when we praise the Lord, it reminds us that God is the one that has the wisdom that we desperately need. A lot of times we forget that. And a lot of times we're looking in other places for that. We're looking up for other sources for that wisdom that we need. And when we praise the Lord and we tell him who he is, it's not so much that he forgets who he is, right? I think we need the reminder of who he is. It's not that he forgets how great he is. It's that we forget how great he is. And a lot of times in worship and in praising him, it's a great reminder to us of who God is and the wisdom that he has that we desperately need. You know, I prepared this before Friday. I don't usually do Saturday night specials, but I prepared this before Friday and before we got the news from the Supreme Court. And what I found interesting was that one of the first texts that God had given me earlier in the week was that Daniel 2:20 verse, the one that says, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. That's Daniel in enemy territory. That's Daniel living in exile. That's Daniel before a king and before a court that wants to kill him. And he praises the Lord. And he says that God, all wisdom is God's, right? And so that's probably the first thing we need to hear this morning, is that we praise God, and it reminds us that in every circumstance, in every place, God has the wisdom that we need. If we're in a foreign court, if we're around dangerous people and in dangerous times, we praise the Lord. And he's got the wisdom that we all need, guys, all right? So it's a great reminder, I think, here at the very beginning. Psalms, in particular, has a special place in most believers' hearts. You will find people who are not Christians, people who are outside the church, who will have a favorite psalm. You'll have people who are not really attuned with God's will and God's thinking who love the Psalms. And so when we think about the Psalms, we're encouraged to read the Psalms, to concentrate on the Psalms, to let them shape us. Just by reading through the Psalms, our thoughts and our hearts and our language changes. As you take the words of the Psalms and you concentrate on them, meditate on them, and maybe pray through them, the way you think changes, how you speak changes, where your thoughts are begins to change. The cool thing about the Psalms, the thing I like about the Psalms, maybe more than anything else, the Psalms give us permission to come to God and be really sad. The Psalms give us the permission to come to God and be angry. The Psalms give us the permission, and quite frankly, if you read through the Psalms, you'll find some stuff that's tough, really hard. David will pray that the teeth of his enemies are broken in their skulls. I don't know if we're allowed to pray that prayer. I don't know. We can talk about that later. But you find some tough stuff in the Psalms. And I guess I resonate with that, and I appreciate that, because I don't think God wants a plastic Joe. And I don't think he wants a plastic you. I don't think he wants insincerity from us. He wants us to come to him and says, man, God, it has been a cruddy week. It has been hard, and I hurt, and I'm angry, right? And those people hurt me, and I don't understand why. All that stuff. God, in Psalms, he kind of gives us this permission to come to him and to complain to him in some very raw ways. But the Psalms also demand from us that we bow to God as sovereign. The Psalms give us this permission to come to God and say, man, it stinks, and it's hard, and it's painful, and I don't get it, and I don't like it. But God, you're God. God, you're good. God, you're in control. God, you sit on the throne, right? There's an entire section of Psalms. That's all it's about, is that God is on the throne. So Psalms gives us that permission to come and to complain and tell God about all of our stuff. But it also leaves us all the time with this command, really, in many ways, a demand from us that we submit to God as sovereign and that we trust in him and his supreme goodness, right? Tim Keller said this. He quoted a man named Alex Motyer. He's a Christian author. And he said, Motyer said that the Psalms are written by people who knew a lot less about God than we do, but they love God a lot more than we do. I really think that's an excellent description of Psalms a lot of times. They knew a lot less about God, but my gosh, the way that they expressed their love for God was amazing. We have the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen, no matter what happened on Friday, Jesus isn't dead. Right? He still sits enthroned at the right hand of God, guys. Do you have something to praise the Lord about today? Yeah, absolutely. Right? So scripts, the Psalms in particular, drive us back consistently to a God who lets us come and says, God, I don't get this, and this looks really awful. You're good. You're God. You're in control. You saved us. You have a plan. All that, right? So Psalms drives us back to that all the time. All throughout your chairs and everything, you're going to find a little piece of paper that looks like this. And I believe there was some on the back table, right? Because I don't think we put enough out for everyone. Maybe within families you can share. It's a very simple reading plan. Here's what I'd like to challenge all of us to do. I'd like to challenge all of us, if we could, starting on July the 1st, which I think is Wednesday or Thursday, to start reading through the Psalms and the Proverbs together. And basically in 31 days, we can read through all of those two books, all the Psalms and the Proverbs together. And so there's kind of an algorithm basically on here that tells you how to make sure that you can maybe follow a reading plan. And if you miss a day, don't freak out, all right? You just pick it up on the 4th or the 6th or the 10th or whatever. But this is a very simple, I think, reading plan. And maybe we can be on maybe some of the same page, expose you to all the Psalms and the Proverbs. And again, pray through them, man. Let the Lord begin to just change your thoughts, change your hearts, your words, all right? So I wanted to put that in your hands and encourage us all to do that together. We'll be, again, in Psalm 150. We're going to read the whole thing. It's a very short psalm. So I'd like to read that out loud right now together, or just myself, but y'all follow along. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you guys, you're here and you're like, I picked the best Sunday to come because there's no way he can speak for 30 minutes on that text. That's all it says. All it says is praise the Lord. We are going to get out of here really quickly. I don't want to disappoint you, but I do have a little bit to say. So we're going to be looking at that entire psalm. We're going to pick it apart together. Verse 1, it's very simple, but it's profound. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Just very quickly, this psalm is organized in a particular way. And it's very, believe it or not, it's very informative. It's not just encouraging. It's not just exhorting us to praise the Lord. It's also very informative, and it really answers some of like our reporter questions. If you can remember maybe speech class or a writing class, you have a reporter questions, who, what, when, where, why, all that, right? This text talks to us about praise. So what does it say, first of all? What are we supposed to do? Praise. If you didn't catch that, you missed something, man. You're not even awake, all right? Is coffee still available for some of these people? Okay, so if you missed the what, you just missed it, all right? Praise where? Okay, it says in his holy place, and then secondly, in the great expanse, and this is kind of a weird word. It really doesn't mean heavens. It's almost like cosmos. It has this idea of like everywhere you can imagine and stuff you don't know about. That's kind of the idea. So just kind of everywhere, all right? So that's where it's supposed to happen. Why should we praise him? For his power, his acts of power, which are very specific. For surpassing greatness, that's really about who God is. How should we praise him? With instruments and dance. Okay, four people played instruments and nobody danced this morning. I think we're okay. You know, I think it's all right. I don't think we violated anything in Scripture. I think there's a lot of permission here in the text about how we worship the Lord and what praise looks like. I think it's very all-encompassing is really what we're going to get to, and we come back into that. Who's supposed to praise? Everyone that has breath. I think that covers everyone in here. Check your neighbor. I think we're all still breathing, right? So I think that covers everyone in here. Who is supposed to praise the Lord? Everything that has breath. Everyone that has breath, praise the Lord. Everyone. We're going to talk more about that. Wisdom starts here. Wisdom knows that I can have an experience with the living God when I praise him. When I praise God, some of us walked through this week and you came in here and I've spoken to some of you and you're like, God is far away. I don't know him in my life. I don't sense him moving in my stuff, my junk, my crud, my pain. I don't sense him in near me at this time. And I'm just going to tell you that Scripture shows us repeatedly. Look in the New Testament, John chapter 6, right, where we worship God in spirit and in truth. When you have a praise experience with God, you have the opportunity to have an encounter with the living God, to come into his presence, right? So those of us who are believers, we don't come into a building, whether it's this building or a supernatural building, and knock on the door and yell from the floor and hope that he hears us in the third story balcony. We come in and we come into his presence and we praise him. We give him our praise personally, directly. We have an opportunity to experience the presence of God every time we praise him. Okay? So wisdom tells us that if I'm lacking a daily experience with God, I would then ask, well, did I praise him today? Not just did I go to him with my laundry list, or did I read about him in Scripture, which is important, that I praise him today. And maybe there's a direct correlation between the amount of time I spend praising him and the amount of input or experience that I have with him on a daily basis. I don't think that experience with God or that worship with God has to be uncontrolled and ecstatic. I don't think that just because you flop around on the floor, bark like a dog, wrap yourself around that pole, and swing from a chandelier, you've experienced God any closer than I have. I would argue the opposite, that to lose control of yourself is to lose a part of your brain that has to be in touch with the Lord. Okay? That worship is all of me, not just some part of me. So I don't get to segment off my emotions and say I worship God emotionally. I don't get to segment off my mind and say I worship God with my mind, or separate my spirit and say I worship God with my spirit. I worship God holistically. To have a true connection with the living God, it incorporates all of me. Here's what I'll tell you about praise. Praise will affect all of you and cause you to want to do it again. It will cause you to want more of the Lord. And quite frankly, even I would say more of that experience. And that shouldn't freak us out. That's okay. We should want to have more of this time where we're in the presence of God, right? So praise opens us up to all of those things. My heart and my mind are open up to wisdom. As I praise the Lord, when I praise the Lord, I'm reminded of his faithfulness and his goodness and his power. You don't have to turn there, and I don't want to read the whole thing, but Psalm 77 is where many of us are today. And I think the first nine verses, it's a bad day. And he's like, oh my gosh, God has forgotten me. God doesn't even know I'm here. He won't listen to me. He doesn't answer me. Listen to verse 10. After he goes through all that, he said, will God reject us forever? He's forgotten to be gracious. That's what it says in the text. Verse 10, he says this. Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. So in my misery, in my concentrating on my crud, I have stayed the hand of God from my life. Verse 11, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God of wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people. Then he goes in this amazing praise time because he realizes God hasn't changed. My circumstances stink, and I'm concentrating on those things. And by concentrating on those things, I've forgotten that God is great and God is powerful and amazing. I need to switch my heart and my head and my mind. The orientation of what I'm spending my energy on has to be radically redirected. And maybe by focusing and concentrating on these wrong things, I'm literally staying God's hand from my life. Now that's a pretty intense thing right there, to think about that. So by praising God, we are opening ourselves up to his wisdom and to his ways. In verse 2, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Again, a very short verse. We praise him for what he has done, his mighty acts, and who he is. This entire book, the entire Bible, is a mixture of some of the most terrible things you can imagine. If you want to go to bed and have nightmares tonight, read Judges, the last like five chapters of Judges. It's terrible, horrible, awful things, right? Concentrate on what happens at the cross. If you really want to just be disturbed by something, think about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have incest occurring in the church, in the early church. This book's a mixture of just some of the worst stuff you can imagine. Sad things, terrible things, ugly things, evil things, lovely things, beautiful things, wonderful things. It's all in this book. And the Bible says, praise God for his mighty acts. Here's the deal. If I take the worst thing of my life and I match it up against the best thing of my life, some of us have this idea that because a bad thing happens, that I still can't praise God. If all I do is praise God based on what happens in my life, I'll never praise him. You guys understand that? I can't let my circumstances dictate my praise of the Lord. I can't let the fact that today was a bad day, and this is a bad week and a bad season and chapter in my life, overarch and overcome the fact that God is good, that he's done wonderful, mighty things. That quite frankly, anything other than hell is gravy. Right? You get that? So any one good day is better than what I deserved. So God's worthy of praise for his mighty acts. Right? So God has these mighty acts that he's done in our life. And this book is full of those kinds of things. And it's full of the praise of God. It ends in a praise chorus to God. If you go to the book of Revelation, that's how we end this whole deal, is praising the Lord. So let me ask you, what is your story? What's your book, right? What does it look like? Two weeks ago tomorrow would be the day that we buried my dad. And part of that burial process was this remembering of what God's done in his life. Was it bad at the end? Were days difficult? Were there horrible things that we wish hadn't happened? Absolutely. But there's this amazing litany of things that we didn't have time to even talk about, all of what God had done. Your story is the same story. Your story is the same opportunity to praise God for all of his mighty acts in your life, even though some of it and maybe much of it is bad. It still doesn't take away from the fact that God has moved and done things for you. At the core of our praise is Jesus Christ. At the heart of our praise is Jesus. If you're in a vegetative state and you're on the bed and you're waiting to just die, Jesus deserves your praise. If you're a believer and it's the worst day of your life and you're like Job and everybody in your family gets wiped out, Jesus saved your soul. He's worthy of your praise. So I picked the worst possible ideas to help you understand no matter how bad your day is, Jesus saved your soul. No matter what your season of life is or how bad the finances is or how bad your health is or how cruddy your relationship is, Jesus died and saved your soul. Is he worth praising? Is he not worth praising? If that's all he ever does in your life, does he not deserve the praise? Doesn't he deserve the most glorious praise that we can think of, right? For eternity, because he died on a cross and saved our souls. At the center and the core of our praise is praising God for his salvation. If you look back in your life, there are thousands of examples of how God put your life together so that he could bring you to salvation. If you just think about your own, the way that you came to know God, the way that you came to know Jesus Christ, and you think about all the stuff that had to be arranged in just the right way for you to come to know Jesus Christ. That's worth praising God about, man. All the little tiny blessings he put in place to get you to the point where you were ready to respond to him in faith. Some of us, it's praising God for little things, maybe how we came to find our spouse, how he spared us. We have stories in this room of how God has spared us and spared people that we love in unique times and ways, how he strengthened us to get through the pain of death, how he brings unexpected blessings into our lives. Has God ever do that? Stuff you didn't even pray about? It was like so big and it was such a secret desire of your heart, you didn't even pray about it, and God goes, I know, here you go. You can have that. Doesn't he deserve praise for that? I get it, today's bad. I get it, it's hard. I get it, she hurt you. I get it, he's a jerk. I understand all that. Think about the stuff, the great and mighty acts that God has done, millions of other things that we can think of that God has blessed us with and that we can praise God for. And when everything else fails, when you're on that worst day of worst days, you thank him for your salvation. You thank him that you can talk to him as your Abba Father. You thank him that his spirit is with you at all times, even on the worst of times, the worst of days. Amen? Christ is at the center of our praise to God, who God is and what he's done. Now, verses 3 through 6 runs through just a long list of instruments that we can play to praise the Lord. Probably best that we don't all come up here and do that, to be honest. But I want to talk about why he mentions all these verses and I think are these instruments and what he's saying. First of all, I want to talk about this. The beginning of each verse, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise, praise, praise. That word praise. Tell you where that comes from. Some of this is new for you. Some of you have heard this before. First of all, the definition of that word, if you wanted to just kind of talk about what the word praise means, and especially in Hebrew, it means to be clear about something. It's basically I say something, then I say, do you understand what I'm saying? Can I clarify that for you? So to be clear about something, to shine, and in particular to shine a light on something, to illuminate something, to boast, to show something to someone, right? To show you something, to rave, to celebrate. And the last one, the last meaning of this word would be to foolishly, to clamorously make a foolish statement, to just kind of go, oh my gosh, I love her more than anything else. It's Tom Cruise jumping on a couch when he was in love with What's-Her-Face. Remember that? And he just looked like an idiot. And he's on Oprah's couch and he's jumping up and down like a moron. It's that. It's that idea. You just foolishly, clamorously make a spectacle of yourself. That's what this word praise means, okay? So just the word itself tells us a lot about what he's trying to talk to us. Very interesting text. Whoever wrote this particular psalm, in the Hebrew, the very first word in the text is halal. The very last word in the text is Yahweh. So here's what you end up with. You end up with, and the very first word in this passage is literally praise God. Let me show you God. Let me make a foolish exclamation about God. Let me illuminate God for you. That's kind of the first thing. The very last thing in the text in the book of Psalms is the name of God. That's the very last thing in the book. Not a phrase, just the name. It's on a line all by itself. The personal name of God, Yahweh. Hallelujah comes from this word. It's halal. And we just took it and turned it into an English word. Halal means praise. Luyah means to Yahweh. Praise to Yahweh. We just mashed it together and made our own little Germanized English word out of it. Hallelujah. And basically the text starts with hallelujah and ends with hallelujah Yahweh. That's what this text says. It's the personal God. There are other words for God that he could have chosen to use. He chose the personal name of God, the I am statement of God. This is Moses meeting with God at the burning bush. And he says, who do I say sent me? And he says, I am that I am sent you. It's that name. It's this personal covenant name of God that we find here. Halal, Yahweh, the personal God, the covenant God, the promise-keeping God, the unchanging God, the ever-present God, the all-sufficient God. So I want to be clear about something. This is what this text is saying. Let me be clear about this. Let me show you how God shines. Let me boast about him. Excuse me, I'm going to rave about God, right? That's what he's saying. Give me a second. I need to just rave about God right now. Let's celebrate the Lord together. I'm going to look like a fool and sound foolish, but I'm going to praise the Lord. So, again, I did this, I swear, prior to Friday. But I come to the application point. Here's what's about to happen. You and I are about to look really foolish. Do y'all understand that? The gauntlet has been thrown down in so many ways. We're going to talk about it next week specifically, okay? But you need to understand, your Christianity is going to cause you to look like an idiot. Now, we believe in dumber things than that. We believe that a guy died and came back from the dead. You know what I'm saying? So if they think that's crazy, just wait till you dig a little bit deeper. We're going to look foolish to people, but we have an opportunity to go, yeah, watch me be a fool for Jesus Christ right now. Watch me show you that when you come after me, I praise the Lord. Let me show you that when you don't think I line up with your version of reality, I'm going to praise the Lord. Y'all understand we have an opportunity here to stand and shine brightly for God in a dark place. And to stop everything and go, I just got to be dumb for it. Excuse me, I'm going to tell you how great God is. Even when it won't make sense, right? So we get that here in this text where he starts with that and he ends with that. There's this whole big talk about music and cymbals and lyres and all that kind of stuff here. Here's what you need to know about this. In our Church of Christ friends, we can have debates with them all day about this, right? We're commanded to sing and praise the Lord. Do you know that? You're not asked to. You're not encouraged to. You're told to. Not just here, but all throughout Scripture. You're commanded to praise the Lord. In the Psalms, in the Old Testament, in other places, in Ephesians chapter 5, we're commanded to praise the Lord. Why do we use music? Why was God such a big into music, right? What's the deal? I think there's several things. First of all, he wants to excite our emotions. He knows that many of us, because of our brokenness and our sinfulness, we're going, well, this is my personality. I would argue that our personalities are broken because of sin. And God knows that many times we come in here, we come into his presence, and our emotions are separated from our minds because we're broken. Do you guys understand that? We're not supposed to operate like that. We do in a fallen world, but we're not supposed to. And I think God says, sing to me because I want your emotions to get worked up. I want you to know that part of your response to me should be an emotional response, right? Our emotions should be sanctified and directed toward him. So it's to excite our emotions. That's not the point of music. It's not the point of singing praise to God. We want to be careful about songs that manipulate us, to be honest. We want to be careful about songs that's all they do is work us up into an emotional frenzy. But we want our emotions to be excited as a means of praising God and to cause us to want God more. And you're like, dude, you're making this up. Augustine, so now we're really old. This goes way back in church history, okay? First four centuries of the church. He wrote this. He said, without pretending to give a definite opinion about music, I am more inclined to approve of the custom of singing in church to the end that through the pleasures of the ear, a weaker mind might rise up in loving devotion to Christ. That's fantastic. It sounds real technical and blah, blah, but it's great. He's like, listen, I get it. We're broken. We don't naturally ascend our minds to God. Maybe by singing, we can work ourselves up emotionally so that we can connect with God better. Okay? So there's one reason why we would do it. It's a creative way to remember things. We live in a unique time in history where it just so happens that generally we can read and write. Now, not everybody. I've seen some of your handwriting on some things. But not all of us. But for the most part, here, we read and write. And really, across the globe now, more people read and write than don't read and write. Okay? So we live in an unusual time. Historically, the average person could not read or write. And so music was a great way to remind people of stuff, to help them memorize things, to put thoughts and theology into their heads, quite frankly, and put it to a tune so you can remember stuff, right? I couldn't tell you probably what we had for dinner on Wednesday night. I remember the Whopper song from when I was like 12 years old. I know what goes on a Whopper. I don't know why, but it's just set to a song. But I can't tell you what we did Wednesday. Songs help us remember stuff. And it's a creative way. It plugs into a different part of our heads and our hearts to remember things about God. It's a creative way to explain things about God, to proclaim things about God. I also think there's a joy in music. You kind of have to be dead to not tap your toe at some point or another. You know, you got to be asleep or not paying attention, or you're angry at somebody who played a song when you were a kid or something. Sooner or later, you move, man, you know. And some of us, we are We come from a family of white people, and we have zero rhythm. It is awful. We did this dance thing and it was terrible. We are just totally white, so our beat is like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, all right, whatever. So we love music, but we don't really naturally have a proclivity into it necessarily. So we're not talking about tapping into something that's naturally there for you or from your heritage or from your family. Music has a joy kind of built into it. Have y'all figured that out? There's something joyful built into music. I think maybe part of that's because music existed before the fall, if you read certain scriptures in a particular way. And it looks like music may be something that was pre-existent before this world. It is heavenly in some ways. And it's one of the gifts that God's given us in his image is to connect musically with things. So there's a joy in music. And I think God enjoys our joy. Y'all understand that? I am thrilled when my kids are happy. When they're happy for the right reason, I'm happy. And I think God's happy. He experiences joy when we experience joy in him. So music helps us to do that, right? And there's a little foretaste of that. So I'm going to throw some stuff out there, and I want to see if this resonates with anyone. I'm not going to sing it, I promise. This will go way back for some of us, and unfortunately some of us won't know these words. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. It's hard to speak it, isn't it? You want to sing it. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And you repeat it in a Baptist church. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. We know that song, right? Just to say the words, it brings tears to your eyes what that song says. And that's my story. You want to know my story? That's it. I just wrapped it up for you. I have an assurance in God that's blessed for all eternity. He saved my soul. He purchased me with his blood. I belong to him. Praising my Savior all the day long. That's my story. A little bit more modern. I think the first maybe literally modern hymn that was written. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. Amen. Tim, you got that? My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing power and majesty and praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise that I have in you. Listen, man, that didn't do something to you when you hear that. You're dead. You're not alive, man. I don't care if you like hymns or if you like choruses or the new stuff or something that doesn't have music to it. There's something that connects us to the heart and the joy of God as we sing to him and about him, right? And it's almost impossible to avoid it as we sing some of those songs. And of course, there are many, many others. But music connects us with God in a special way. I think all these instruments, he lists the trumpet, harp, lyre, timbrel, all these things, dancing, stringed instruments, pipe, all that stuff. Here's how I would probably apply that to everyone, because we don't all play this kind of musical instrument. It would be chaos if we all tried. And really sound probably really bad. I do think it's a call to corporate worship. I think that we're called to come into the presence of God with believers who can play the harp and the lyre and the timbrel and the stringed instruments. I think it's a call to corporate unity worship. But I also think it has something to do with this, that loosely I think you could translate it into is like, what's in your hand? What do you find in your hand? Are you praising God for that thing and using it to bring praise to God? What do you have in your hand? Actuary columns, a slide rule, a PS3 controller, an iPod, an iPhone, the mouse for your computer, food, a shovel, a pen. All of it is an opportunity to bring praise to the Lord. Everything you find in your hand is an opportunity to bring praise to the Lord. Wisdom understands that all of life is an act of worship. Not just music and singing. you miss the point if you think it's about singing a song. All of life, whatever you find here, is an opportunity for you to make some music for God. Amen? So I think that's why he goes through that long list of instruments. Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As of Thursday afternoon or Friday morning, I forget, there are about 7.3 billion people alive on the planet today. 7.3 billion people. There are 17,000 different people groups, and we probably haven't even identified all of the people groups yet. 17,000 different people groups. Listen, God deserves praise from every single one of them. Not just the redeemed, not just the saved, not just those who are sitting in churches on a Sunday. God deserves a praise from everything that has breath. Everything. Whether or not they choose to regard God, whether or not they choose to acknowledge God, is irrelevant. God deserves their praise. You understand that? God deserves the praise from everyone who has breath. That means if you're sitting in this room and you're breathing, God deserves your praise. Some of you are in here and you can't praise God. You're ticked off that you have to be here today. You'd rather be home eating, sleeping, or doing something else. That doesn't negate the fact that God deserves your praise. God deserves your praise, man. If you're breathing, he deserves the praise that belongs to him. Not just your shopping list, but your thanks. Not just your complaints. He deserves your praise. Wisdom knows that spending your life complaining brings dishonor on the Lord. So the way I took this verse is, I've been entrusted with breath. I've been given breath. What am I doing with it? How am I spending that? Look at breath like you would look at money. Look at breath like you would look at your time. How am I spending my breath? Wisdom understands that when I complain, I begin, and that's all I do, or I, majority of the time I do that, I bring dishonor on the Lord. To be ruled by anxiety and sadness leads to more anxiety and sadness because that's what you've set your eyes on. That's what you've set your heart on. That to point out abusers and misusers and cruel people and ugly things and hurtful people and circumstances that are terrible, when I do that too much, it robs God of his glory. Who is in charge in your life? Who's in charge of your life? Is it God? If it's God, praise him. And really, it's not a question of if, it's do you know that? God is in charge of your life. Praise him. He deserves the breath that you take. Doesn't mean you can't complain. We already talked about that at the beginning. But as I focus on that, I'm robbing from God with what I do with my breath. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Wisdom says, I will be sad, and I will cry, and I will mourn, and I will praise the Lord. It will change you. Praising God changes you. It draws you toward God, and it fills you up. It brings you into the joy of God when I praise him. I don't know if this freaks you out. I've said it before. I'll say it now. God loves himself more than anything else in the universe. Were he not to, he'd be an idolater. Chew on that. That's on the podcast, okay? So you can go back and listen to that again. As I come into the presence of God and I am joyful in who he is, I enter his presence and his joy in himself. There's no better place to be. God is most happy when I am most satisfied in him. That's what that's all about. Okay? So I can spend my breath doing the opposite of that, or I can spend my breath coming into his presence as I praise him. Everything that has breath. Our Creator, I believe, put a song into all of us. I think that the Creator wove a song into all of us. And maybe that's too artsy for you, I don't know. But I think that he has wired music into the fabric of our souls. Throughout the Bible, God's people sing. I would argue that it's part of being human, and it's a larger part of being a Christian. When God rescued you, God became your song. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust him, will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song and my salvation. God becomes the reason you sing. His praise becomes the things that you sing. Whereas before, your heart connected with songs about girls and guys and songs about cool stuff and songs about maybe death and destruction, your heart gets changed and turned. And the songs that speak to your heart and the songs that echo what's going inside of you become songs about God. God is our song. He pulled us up out of the pit and He put His name in our hearts and He put His praise in our mouths. Wisdom comes to me. If I want wisdom to come into my life naturally, wisdom comes to me as I begin to retune my heart to the Creator and away from the created. Generally speaking, many of us spend our lives and our weeks singing songs about things that have been created. Right? I want wisdom to flow into my life. And as I retune my life and my heart to sing the songs and the praises of God, His wisdom more naturally flows into me. And it really is a retuning away from the created things and to the Creator. Romans chapter 1. If you haven't read it, this is a great week to read it. But Romans chapter 1 talks about that. By praising Him, it helps me keep the world and sorrow and pain and sin in their proper places, and it helps me in my mind keep God in His proper place, which is preeminent. I don't know another word to use for that. Above all, and worthy of my life. In my heart and in my head, as I praise God, it keeps God on His throne. Now, here's what I want to say about that phrase, which we use a lot. God never leaves His throne. I think I can sometimes squeeze on there with Him, you know, and do His stuff for Him. But God doesn't ever leave it. But it is important that in my head and my heart and my affections and my desires and my thinking, I recognize God as sitting on the throne of my heart. Praising Him keeps that in perspective. Can't praise God and maintain pride. It just doesn't work together. So as we wrap this up, I want to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, are you putting yourself into this psalm? Could you put your name before each of these praise the Lords and that be you? Jim, praise the Lord. Joe, praise God in His sanctuary. Paul, praise Him in His mighty expanse. Are you sticking your name in here? Are you seeing yourself in this psalm? You're like, well, I don't play the cymbal, so I can't use that verse. Yes, you can. What's in your hands? What has God given you to make music with? What's He given you to do something beautiful with? Are you praising God with that? Or are you doing it to make a buck and get through the week so you can get to the weekend? What are you doing with what's in your hand? Are you sticking your name in here, or are you just refusing to participate? Somebody in here, you just got it this morning. You're like, oh my gosh, this whole book really is about God wanting all of me. He really does want all of me. He wants me to praise Him with everything for all that He is and all that He's done, no matter what my life looks like today. He really does want all of me. And some of you today, you can't praise God like that, but before we're done, you will be able to. You need to cry out to the Lord and say, God, I give You my life and I give You my all, and I want to sing Your song with the rest of my life. Save me from my sins. You need to call on the Lord for that today so you can sing this song back to the Lord. Wisdom comes to me in my mind as my mind and my heart are tuned into Him. Basically, it's this idea that I'm wiser in Christ than I am out of Christ. I'm wiser close to God than I am away from God. That way, what I know, the things that I know to be good and true, I'll act on them willingly. Isn't that a great definition of wisdom, right? To act rightly with what you know. To do what's right when you know what's right to do. It's a great application of wisdom, is it not? A definition of wisdom. Wisdom is gained as we know the Word, do the Word, as we respond well to suffering, as we seek God in our families, and as we praise Him. We have to declare that God is worth living for, that He's worthy of our praise, that there's no satisfaction, there's no joy, there's no fulfillment outside of God. It can be found nowhere else. And telling the world about Him is what we were meant to do. That's what God created us for. To join Him in His love of Himself for our good, and then to tell other people about that. To praise the Lord. Certainly the benefits that come to me, but the benefits that go out to other people. So as we wrap up today, I want to remind you of a couple of things. over on that wall over there. It's kind of our prayer wall for the month. If there's some area in your life you need to praise the Lord for, you need to refocus and retune your song to match up with God, we'd love you to write it over there. We're using it to pray for you throughout the month. Anything that you need wisdom for, put it over on that wall. You have the Psalms and Proverbs reading list. Some of you need to retune your heads and hearts. Get God's thoughts in here. Take the time over the next month to spend the time in the Psalms and the Proverbs. The very end, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Can you praise him in his sanctuary? Can you praise him for his mighty acts? Can you praise him for his excellent greatness? Can you do that? I want to take some time to do that. We're not going to sing again. But I want to take some time to do that. If you didn't do it when we sang earlier, I want to give you a chance to do it now in your hearts and in your minds and in your heads and with your words, all right? So if you bow your heads and close your eyes, if you're a believer, you're a Christ follower, and yes, this has been a disappointing week and maybe a painful week for many of us, a hard week for many of us. But if you would say, but man, Pastor Joe, I trust in God, and I've spent a lot of time complaining. I complained on Facebook, and I complained to anybody that would listen to me this week, and I've told them how horrible it all is. But you didn't spend a lot of time praising the Lord, and you have found your heart and your head tuning up, lining up with the things of this world. And you need to just spend some time right now. God, you're good. You are good, and you have done mighty acts in my life. I know I'm still sick right now. I know my dad is still in the grave. I know that we're not going to go back in time and undo stuff, God. I know that. But you're good, and you've done something mighty in my life. You have blessed me. Without anybody really looking around, I want to pray for those of you who would say, man, Joe, I think I lost my way a little bit last week. But right now, I want to praise the Lord. Would you just raise your hand? I want to praise the Lord with you. Can you just pop your hand up? I am magnifying the Lord for his mighty acts. I am praising the Lord for what he's done in my life. Just keep your hands up. Let's praise him. God, thank you. We lift our hands to you, Lord. Part of that halal, part of that praise is worship, coming with open hands. And we come to you with open hands, God, to tell you that everything in our lives is yours. Everything you've done for us, God, has been some blessing to our lives. And we missed it this week. We were complaining or angry. We gave, quite frankly, the devil in the world too much to do this week. But God, with our minds and our lips right now, we praise you. We tell you that your works are mighty. We tell you that you are worthy. And you know what, God? Even if right now we're sick or we don't feel good or we're scared of what's coming up, we want to tell you thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you that we don't face dark times by ourselves. Give us someone who needs to hear that this week. Could you pray that? Give me someone this week who needs to hear it. Praise the Lord. Even they know my junk and they know my problems and my stress and my pain. But God, I'm asking you, give me somebody that I can say praise the Lord to this week. And they hear about you because of me. Not my complaints, not my problems, but about you. God, if there's someone in this room who doesn't know you, they don't belong to you, they've never called on you for salvation, God, I pray that they would today. How can I sit here and talk to these people like a crazy person about faith and love and hope and praising God, even when things are bad? It's because of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that someone in this room this morning calls on Jesus. Right now, God, you would save. You would direct hearts toward you. They came in not knowing you, nothing to praise you about. They leave knowing you. God, save them this morning, Father. Thank you for meeting with us, for reminding us to praise the Lord. And everything that has breath, we praise the Lord. In your name we pray, amen.